The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. The movie podcast is counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we continue our giant mini countdown. We're revisiting all of our old episodes.
Yeah, the last 105 episodes.
Giving you a quick slam bang mini recap. We're just making stuff up mostly.
We're just talking about the movies that we already talked about in the podcast. You can go back and listen to them. But right now, we're just going to talk about the shit that we remember.
But if you're like, I don't want to spend 100 hours listening to your old episodes.
Just listen to these.
Yeah.
Also, we were drunk for most of these.
And we're drunk now.
Yeah, we're kind of drunk now. But this is around the area, like 25, 30 episodes in is kind of when we were just like drunk all the time.
That's true. We were pretty bad this
day. Yeah. Point. But the episodes are good. Sound quality, not the best, but it gets better. This is the block, the Emma episodes, where there's a lot of Emma in them.
That's true.
Yeah, this is before we were like, well, maybe soberish start off at least. This, we were watching a movie and getting drunk together, and then recording.
Drunk and getting more,
But it made for some very funny stuff.
This is episode 29.
Yes.
This is Beetlejuice.
Oh, Beetlejuice, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, you love this movie.
I love this movie. This is Tim Burton making up shit as it goes along.
Yeah, I mean, that's Tim Burton's career.
Yeah, exactly. This is the most Tim Burton movie that Tim Burton ever Tim Burton.
Is it?
I think so.
Maybe.
I'd be pressed to find a more Tim Burton movie.
His stop motion stuff. Now, granted, he's not technically the director of that. Yes. So I guess maybe it doesn't count, but that feels super Tim Burton-y.
But all the Beetlejuice shit, the fucking worm.
You're right. The worm, all this, like the stop motion inserts. And I mean, it definitely has his art style. If you've ever seen his actual sketches, cause he's a pretty good artist.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So this is the one with super skinny Alec Baldwin. Watch it now and you're like, that's not Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Bullshit. That's Alec Baldwin's skinnier brother.
Yeah, exactly.
One of his
15 other brothers.
Other brothers, exactly. Yeah. Super skinny Alec Baldwin, and then Gina Davis. Yeah. She's amazing.
Gina Davis.
They die.
Girls don't like for some reason. No. I remember Emma not liking her. I don't think Erica liked her either.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody seems to like Gina Davis except for us.
I love Gina Davis.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, Earth Girls Are Easy and Cutthroat Island.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Cutthroat Island. Fuck yeah, Cutthroat Island's dope as shit.
Pirate movie before you had to have ghosts in that shit.
That's right, exactly.
You just had pirates.
When they were like, hey, you know what's cool? Pirates.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then the world was like, no, we're not. You need to at least have some ghosts.
Yeah,
add some ghosts. And a pre-existing property and Disney and the flexing muscle of Disney.
That's true.
Marketing,
telling everyone that if they don't watch this, they'll be, I don't know, first up against the wall when the Disney Revolution happens.
Yeah, exactly. Which will happen. They will rule the world. I am 100%.
You will have mouse ears surgically attached to your head.
I feel like it's going to be like a Disney Netflix war. And we're going to talk about the Disney Netflix wars.
When we remake Demolition Man, which I'm sure is going to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of being the fast food wars and Taco Bell coming out.
It's going to be the Netflix Disney streaming wars. The streaming wars. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be all about original programming and existing properties. And who got the rights to Friends?
That's
who got the rights to The Office?
Seinfeld.
Who got the rights to Seinfeld? Yeah.
Who got the rights to these old shows that
three fucking
still
shows
watch for some reason, I guess.
Three shows that places that
and only one of them
studios
good.
Are paying $1 billion for.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, and only Seinfeld is worth it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Oh, that's it. We're fucking Friends and Office and shit. No, I'd be all right.
They're fine.
I like them and I can watch them whenever. But you know what I never do? I never go like, I'm going to sit down and watch just like an episode of The Office. I'm just like, I'm going to throw on The Office while I'm doing other shit.
Yeah. But that's the problem. Everybody does that.
Yeah, exactly. So all right. And Friends is the worst. I cannot get behind Friends. But anyway, Beetlejuice, party animal that they hire to kill the family that lives in their fucking house.
They
hire like a demon to kill that family.
That's right. So they're ghosts that possess a house that then a yuppie rich couple with a super cute, super
gothy,
super every boy in the 80s and 90s crush, Winona Ryder, comes in. And they're like, hey, we hate these yuppie fucks. Let's summon a demon to murder them.
To murder them, exactly. And that's what they do. But
it's a pretty metal plan.
They do also summon the coolest fucking demon.
Yeah.
He's a party guy. Although he whores it up.
That's true.
Eventually, though, he does.
All he wants is some of that 13-year-old Winona
Ryder. I was going to say, eventually, yeah. He does try to marry. He's like Jerry Lee Lewis.
What if they just summoned Jerry Lee Lewis? Let's redo this movie. Fucking Dennis Quaid.
Jerry Lee Lewis dies and becomes Beetlejuice.
That's right.
And then that's why he's always like super party animal.
That's right. You know,
he's not playing the piano, but might as well.
He might as well.
There could have been a scene with Beetlejuice playing piano.
If Beetlejuice also sang Great Balls of Fire, this movie is better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you throw in Great Balls of Fire in this. All right, this is very much, if you invite Jerry Lee Lewis to come stay with you, and you're like, it was really cool, and he's a lot of fun, but... Yeah,
he partied up, he played like a fucking maniac on the piano. Amazing.
He's getting results.
Greatest piano player.
He's getting rid of my neighbors that I don't like, or whatever. Yeah. Like, he's... Yeah, and... but he's keeps trying to fuck my 13-year-old, and I'm not on board with that.
Yeah,
but god damn it, is he fun?
He's so fun. He's so much fun, though.
But everything is going to be about him.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to remember the rest of the cast.
That's true.
Yeah. Jerry Lee Lewis, just Beetlejuice.
I love this.
Yeah,
I also love the other idea I had, which is just, let's go super metal on this.
Yeah.
And they summon, like... Just a fucking like
a 14-story
demon. Yeah. Not even a 14-story demon, but just like the cover of a Dio album comes to life.
Like Deicide.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like a big fucking like giant Frank Frazetta looking motherfucker.
Giant wings.
With a giant axe and wings that just is there to murder people.
Super serious Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Super serious Beetlejuice, which I guess is just any of the Sinister movies or any of that shit.
That's true.
But you add a super awesome. Some metal dude.
Yeah, exactly.
And just every time he shows up, it's just like
hardcore metal, like
badass metal.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, and then he just wrecks havoc.
Wrecks.
Also, actually, he probably just like plays the guitar a lot, but doesn't actually get that much shit done.
No, he still got to chop some heads though.
Yeah, he chops some heads.
He chops some heads. We gotta get some blood and gore in this motherfucker.
I would like
this
idea
is a super R-rated like Phantagora vision.
Yeah,
version rather of this movie.
I would like the idea that his music is not that good.
No, but
it's fast and loud.
It's metal.
It's metal. Yeah. Exactly.
It's just fast loud.
Just fast.
It's
loud.
It's not so good metal. It's just metal.
No. And he's just cutting through. Even the afterlife people that show up.
Yeah.
Juno, the caseworker, just cuts her head off and shit. Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good scene if just in the office worker, while they're all like, this, we have this bureaucracy to the afterlife.
Yes.
He's just like, chop, chop, chop.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's just cutting people. And that's why you don't summon Beetlejuice, the death metal god.
The death metal god.
Yeah.
Oh, Beetlejuice, the death metal god.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Pitching it.
Episode 30. We go 360 on this. It's Oliver and Company. It's speaking of our Disney overlords.
Yes.
So speaking of a metal god, Billy Joel.
Yeah. Billy Joel, Disney was like, we have no idea what we're doing with animation anymore.
Yeah. We've Disney has been dead now. And since he died, we really have just been in the weeds.
We don't know what we're doing. We're talking about foxes and hounds and shit. We got nothing. And there's the other guy that's making like Land Before Time. And Fievel Goes West and shit.
Yeah, he used to work for us, but we said his ideas weren't good. Turns out his ideas were
pretty
really good.
Yeah. We're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But now we got to make something. So let's get Billy Joel in here. And Billy Joel is like, I don't know. I like Oliver Twist. Can we do that?
Yeah.
And like, sure.
Yeah, but instead they're animals now because that's what we do.
Because it's Disney going back to... Yeah, that's all they did actually back then. Yeah, this is before Little Mermaid.
Let's take regular people and make them animal people or just straight up animals.
Yeah, it was a time... It was all like Rescue Rangers.
That's
Or like Rescuers.
Lady and the Tramp, the Rescuers.
Where it was just animals.
Aristocrats.
Yeah.
101 Dalmatians, all that shit.
Just animals in this one. This one also, not that good. It's all right. It's all right. But the music is not good.
Disney looked at this movie. They heard the first song, the Why Should I Worry? Why Should I Care? And they're like, yeah.
Let's make a movie about this.
I mean, why should I care? I don't know. It's not that good. I don't care.
And everybody loves Oliver Twist, right?
Right.
Poor kid becomes rich.
Everybody loves the classic Oliver Twist that you're forced to read, I guess. I didn't even read that shit.
No,
I didn't read it at all.
But kids in the fucking 50s were forced to read
exactly.
that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
so
me.
It was the 60-year-olds that were still in charge of the studio at that time.
Yeah, they were like, I remember I read that novel.
I read that fucking piece of shit, Charles Dickens.
I read fucking Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah,
which
that's
was
true.
Also
I did that.
Kind of
yeah.
shitty.
Yeah, it's not great.
But it also, it did have some cool... New York backgrounds.
It had ghoul New York backgrounds.
Which was funny because I think we talked about this, that Ralph Bakshi was very anti-Disney, and that's what his thing was like realistic, very realistic backgrounds. And they're like, no, we're going to take that too. And then they made realistic New York backgrounds.
Yeah. Actually, it's a good looking movie for the most part.
It is.
It has some very good voice talents. If I remember, you got obviously Billy Joel. Yeah, you got Cheech Marin
was in there.
Yeah, he's in there.
Bette Midler's in there as well.
That's true, right? And
again, Bette Midler playing a bitch.
Always,
she played a bitch in Ruthless People. Played a
Isn't
bitch
it,
in this.
Robert Loggia, right?
Yeah, Loggia. Yeah. Oh, it's fucking
He's
great.
He's very good.
Also, I think we did talk about this on the episode, but it's back then in the 80s, it's the only way that like ethnic people could get into a Disney movie.
Yeah, I mean, they play some racial stereotype dogs, yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah, you play
Everyone
Chihuahua.
Loves it.
Like,
yeah.
They're not going to put Cheech Marin in the computer wore tennis shoes.
No.
No.
First of all, the computer wore tennis shoes was made in like 1963. So.
No, that's true. That's my bad. That's my bad. But like all the Disney movies even coming out back then, like that's Mr. True. Boogity, you're not putting Cheech Marin in Mr. Boogity. But yeah, you get to be a Chihuahua though in the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but it was actually comparatively pretty progressive.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
I would say so.
It was the cast was very kind of like
diverse.
It was very diverse. Yeah. The cast
I mean,
was very diverse.
The whole thing is about found family, and it's a found family of people, well, in this case dogs, but really people of all kinds of various ethnicities and backgrounds.
Yeah. The music was garbage.
Yeah. They got one song.
They got
one Billy Joel song, and they're like, yeah, we don't need to come up with anything else.
Oh, it's bad. The story is just old regurgitated shit.
Yeah, it's just bad Oliver Twist.
Bad Oliver Twist, yeah. The movie's okay.
The movie's fine.
What on the lower end of the Disney shit.
Oh, for sure.
It wasn't that good.
So then we get to the higher end of Indiana Jones ripoffs. It's Romancing the Stone.
Romancing the Stone. Oh, Nathan came on for this one.
Oh, that's right. Is this our first Nathan episode?
This is our first Nathan episode. Oh, he did this one and he did the next one as well. This is a great movie. This is Michael Douglas,
Kathleen Turner, Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Nathan made a really good point in this episode, and
I find that hard to believe.
About Danny DeVito, it's great. He said that Danny DeVito is just midget Andy Kaufman, and when I was looking at him, I was like, "That's pretty good."
It's not bad.
If you compress Andy Kaufman down into a little guy.
It's not even just shrink. You're compressing. You're just squeezing.
Yes, because it's not like you shrunk him down. He's not like a smaller version of himself. All the mass is still there.
The mass is still there.
It's just the hair. The crazy hair.
The crazy hair's there.
The crazy like voice and like all that. Like, I get that.
I get it.
But this was, right.
Mean,
This is the Indiana Jones. Yeah, because he's alive.
Well, no, just in general, I think he's funnier. He's a better actor.
Although, what if Andy Kaufman was still around now?
I mean, he is.
Oh, that's right.
He just plays the part of that old like weirdo.
He's playing it. Here's my thing about when people have theories about Elvis being alive.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore. You can't make an Elvis being alive anymore.
He
would
be
98 years old.
That's
not,
true.
Not
He'd
so
be
much.
Very old.
Yeah. Or like Tupac.
Right. Right.
Or Kaufman or anything like that. Is that I think you can fake your own death. But I think you can do that for 4 years.
Yeah, it would be pretty hard.
And then after that, you're just like, nah.
I mean, I think you or me could fake our death and be okay for the rest of our lives. But fucking Elvis Presley, the most famous man in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it'd be hard.
But also, even people like Andy Kaufman, even I feel like was a man who needed attention.
That's true.
And eventually, 5 years in, he's like, "I'm not a blue collar guy.
He would have
guy.
To do bits.
I'm gonna have to do
have
bits.
He would have to do bits.
And he would come out, and then he would That's come right. back at some point.
Unless he just had incredible facial reconstructive surgery and became Jim Carrey.
And he's just Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Which I could believe.
Yeah. Maybe Jim Carrey is just like the Highlander. He's eternal.
He may be.
They are the same person.
But the only way he can get away with that is to have crazy facial surgery. Yeah.
So whoever's coming up next.
Yeah. So Kate McKinnon is just Jim Carrey, Jim Carrey. With a lot of surgery.
Yeah. Jim Carrey just moved on to Kate McKinnon.
That's right.
Even though Jim Carrey's still alive.
He's very much still alive.
Will be for
and
40
I've seen
years.
Him
yeah.
recently.
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit, so he's got a show.
He's got a show, a movie.
Yeah.
He did Comedians in Cars.
He's in the Sonic movie.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I forgot about that one.
Him and Kate McKinnon, same person.
Yeah, same person.
So he's a Highlander in this. But anyway, let's go back to the Indiana Jones ripoff that is this movie.
I mean, yeah, it's Indiana Jones.
It's actually really good.
It's Indiana Jones, but from like a quasi lady point of view.
Yeah, they go down to, she go, her sister gets kidnapped.
She goes down to Columbia. She's just a lonely writer of romance novels who's never known romance for herself until she meets Michael, sexy ass
face
Douglas.
In your crotch, Douglas.
Face will go down on you in a second, Douglas.
He got throat cancer from that shit.
That's right.
There's
only one thing Michael Douglas loves more than Michael Douglas, and that's eating pussy.
I'm not a lady, but if I heard that, like, Michael Douglas loves to go down on you, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would get steamy.
Maybe that's why he was such a huge star for so long.
That's why the throat cancer also.
Yeah, that's why. Also the throat cancer.
It comes at a price.
Yeah, it comes at a price.
It turns out if you go down on 5,000 women, eventually you get HPV in your throat. Yeah. But in this one, he has a pseudo going down on Kathleen Turner.
Kills a snake and feeds it to her.
They fall down the hill, and then he ends up with his head between
her
legs.
That's true. Yeah, it's the classic anime, like, face in boobs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It also had one of my favorite characters of the entire podcast, which was...
The guy from Three Amigos?
Jimmy the Fondler. And I don't know if you remember this. Jimmy Fondler was the kid that kidnaps her.
That's right.
He's in that car and he's a kid.
That's true.
And he's like in a fucking caddy and she's there. And we were like, he's clearly getting some fingers in there.
Yeah, he's going to town.
He's a fucking like 13-year-old kid. And he's got like a passed out white lady in his car.
Uh-huh.
He's going to town.
Yeah.
And then he goes and plays with his friends. He plays soccer with his friends afterwards.
I like that you threw in soccer there because for a minute...
Yeah,
it was getting dicey.
Yeah. Jimmy the Fondler, also well known, is like, yeah, he kidnaps your shit.
And he fondles. He's the fondler. So then we get to episode 32. This is another movie that we talk... Well, actually, we don't talk about the sequel to this, but it did have a very popular sequel. This, however, brings us our first appearance... Of one giant powerhouse who is now coming back.
Yeah.
Where it's a good timing on our part, I guess.
Just not by the Academy Awards. He should have been nominated for Best Actor.
Oh, hot take.
Yeah.
This is Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy's first movie.
And of course, Nick Nolte.
Nathan was also in on this one.
Nathan was on this one because he's a big Nick Nolte fan.
Yeah. And a big Walter Hill fan.
And a big Walter Hill fan, mainly.
Yeah.
And this is Walter Hill, who is a pretty amazing director.
Pretty amazing, like, action movie director.
Action movie director. This is 48 Hours. 48 Eddie Murphy's hours. First, as you said, his first movie. So this is Eddie Murphy. He's on SNL. He's like 20 fucking 1 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, he makes everyone else in the world feel bad. It's him and Orson Welles, where you're like, oh, at 22, Eddie Murphy was the star of SNL and the star of the biggest movie in the world. Yeah. And then you look, and Orson Welles was winning fucking Oscars.
And
God damn it.
Eddie Murphy, if you were on that cast, you were like, I'm not
you
even
Eddie
close
sidekick.
To that fucking funny.
Yeah.
And he's 8 years younger than me.
That's right.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah, no, super talented. He also plays... one character in this movie instead of 45.
That's true.
It's amazing.
And it actually works.
He doesn't even do bits.
Yeah. I mean, he does bits.
He does bits, but he doesn't do like other character bits.
That's true.
He never pretends to be gay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy staple, yeah.
Eddie Murphy was pretending to be gay. He doesn't pretend to be fat. He doesn't pretend to be a robot full of little people.
I mean, just in case you're wondering, though, you're like, well, that sounds like this movie is in no way going to offend anybody. Oh, no, it will.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nick Nolte is super racist.
Oh, my God. He calls him watermelon right away. And then he's like, it's fine because I'm a cop. Like, it's weird. It's weird. He's like, I'm a cop. I can talk.
I can do whatever I want.
I can do whatever I want.
You hear my voice? I'm super growly. I'm Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
We're going to get in a street fight. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. I don't remember if he calls him the N-word, but he might as well have.
If he doesn't, he calls him every other possible thing.
He fights him in the alley one time.
Yes.
Like, this movie... Also, this movie has some amazing action sequences.
No. The first breakout sequence is fucking great.
So
the
good.
Closing... Or not even the closing shootout, but the middle shootout where the cops die is really good. Yeah.
That stuff is really good. Some amazing shootouts and stuff like that. And
Eddie Murphy spends this entire movie trying to get laid...
Yeah, which that's right.
Very true to, I guess, like someone who's been in prison for a long time. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Nick Nolte comes and takes him out of prison to find the guy that he did the job with.
Right.
For 48 hours.
So it's kind of like Hannibal Lecter, but less eating people and more wanting pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, Hannibal Lecter should have wanted more pussy. What the fuck is up with that guy, man?
Yeah, why are you...
Why are you so obsessed with eating people?
Yeah. Have sex.
Get laid, dude. Yeah. That's the whole point of every guy. Eddie Murphy, immediately, they put a suit on them, right away tries to have sex with a hooker in the jail.
That's right.
That's one of the things about this episode that I forgot about, and then I was going back and kind of like listening through it a little bit, is that every chick in this episode is in her underwear. They go to a strip club. They'll go to an apartment, and like two chicks are just in their underwear in that place.
That, oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
They just gave us what we wanted.
The 80s knew. The 80s knew.
Yeah. It's like they were like Eric Francisco.
Yeah. What would you like in this movie? And we're like, well, if I got to be perfectly honest.
all chicks in their underwear, Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte.
And Nick Nolte, actually, some action, maybe some people getting some shot.
Really good action. Yeah. I'm a really big some fan jokes. Of Nick Nolte too.
Man. Yeah, Nick Nolte's great.
Yeah, so it's hustling. It's Nick Nolte calling him watermelon, which is crazy. It's crazy
insane.
Racist.
It's insane
for being was it his early 80s, but still, God damn it! Like it's very funny now, but damn it, it's pretty
such a crazy thing to think of that as a like a slur, but yeah. Wow.
But no, yeah. They fight in the alley, and then eventually
they become friends.
They respect each other,
and then they come back. What, like 8 years later
for the sequel?
Yeah,
yeah. God damn it, they respect each other.
Yeah, they really do. So episode 33, that would be the, Ron Howard classic,
yes.
Cocoon.
All right, so Cocoon, and I was talking about this with you before, it has my favorite opening joke that I've ever made.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is go back and listen to it. And I don't know, should I say it or should
yeah,
I?
Yeah, say it.
And it is, it's the movie that inspired a million Pepsi old people being young commercials. And also one Dr. Kevorkian. Because this movie is about old people coping with death.
That's right.
And admitting like that they're going to die.
Yeah.
In the weird shroud of aliens in a pool. This is also an Emma episode.
This is the Goots. Yes. This is the episode where we find out that Emma and I assume all women of a certain age love the fuck out of Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg is shirtless in this a lot because it's a pool.
That's right.
And he's pretty well cut. I didn't know that women liked him as much as Emma likes him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a reason why he was a huge movie star for like 5 years.
Yeah. All about the Goots, man. All about the Goots. So this is about aliens that can give you life if you swim in the pool that they're in.
Right.
If you do too much swimming in the pool that they're in, they die.
Yeah.
And they do that. The old people. All right. So the old people go swimming in the pool and they become super reinvigorated.
Right. They don't look any different.
No, they don't.
They still look like gross old people, which are always gross.
Again, they look like in a Pepsi commercial. They popped open a Pepsi.
That's right.
And it's party time. All of a sudden they got sunglasses on. They got Hawaiian shirts on. That's right.
It's just Florida at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
After everyone's had five margaritas.
You know what I like about that is that when it's the guys, it's old guys, there's always like super hot, young, bussy chicks around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we popped open a Pepsi. And now it's like, yeah, super hot, young, bussy chicks are around. But if it's old ladies, it's like snobby old ladies. And it's just Rat or like other hair metal bands that are just making you rock. And then they just rock. They don't like it's not sexy with old snobby ladies.
You don't find Rat sexy?
Yeah, well, I mean, they do. They're headbanging after that. That's and like true. Smoking a joint.
It's not a lot of like Hemsworths in a bikini.
No, which it should have been, but it's not. It's just like, no, we're rocking old ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
But with old dudes, it's all about
young girls.
Big fake tits with the giant scars under. And
of course, and this is the 1980s. Yeah. So the ideal woman in the 1980s had
no
giant
hips.
Giant fake tits, no hips, bleach blonde hair, and a lot of scars that are just barely hidden by makeup,
barely hidden,
and a bad fake tan.
Neon bathing suits.
Neon
bathing suits. Neon. Oh, bad tans.
Bad tans.
But that anyway. This movie, when they go and swim in the pool. They come out and they're super virile.
That's right.
And like getting their life
back. They fuck a lot.
Then they fuck a whole bunch.
There's a lot of, they don't, this is a PG movie, so they don't really fuck a lot, but the implication is all over
the place.
There's a lot of wink, wink, nod, nod, you know what we're doing in the next room.
There's one dude that's leaving his wife.
Yeah.
Because he's like, nah, I'm young now.
I'm young. I'm going to go find one of those fake bimbo girls.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go down to the strip club and stick a few hundreds in there, get myself a new wife.
Yeah, you get the youngest, strippiest of wives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's gonna work out great.
Is that Brian Dennehy was the alien, right?
No, I think Brian Dennehy was the alien. Brian Dennehy is the alien.
Yeah. Wilford Brimley.
Brimley, yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You know the guy. Yeah, the diabetes guy. Yeah.
But anyway, so they're not allowed to go in the pool, but then they go in the pool.
I should just mention for you guys at home, we do our research during the actual episodes, but these episodes, this is all on memory.
Yeah, this is what I remember. This was 2 years ago that we recorded
this. At least 2 years ago.
2 years ago we recorded this. Eventually, they get so addicted to this fucking thing that they kill the aliens. They go in and they open up those pods and then the aliens die.
Fuck those guys.
And then Brian Dennehy is like...
Were my peoples.
Those are my people. But guys, if you guys want to come to my planet, come with me on this barge. And all the old people go on that barge. And we were like, clearly Brian Dennehy is going to kill them.
Oh, yeah.
Because he also killed these people. The Goots goes out there with them and he comes back without them. Yeah. Clearly, he killed 45 old people.
That's true.
Yeah. The ending of this movie is actually.
If you're you today.
Yeah.
An alien comes down and says, come with me to outer space.
You live forever.
No, not even you live forever. Just come with me to outer space. What do you say?
Oh, of course.
Obviously.
Last Starfighter, right? That's the whole plot of the movie. We go Last Starfighter. You're just playing your fucking arcade game at a pizza place.
Yeah.
And then a lizard guy shows up.
Is there any level of aliens? What if they looked like the aliens from Alien, but they speak like perfect xenomorphs? English? They're xenomorphs.
I'm going.
But they're still like, hey, bro, come to space.
Are they licking their lips a lot like they're going to eat me?
I mean,
they're
not licking because they don't have lips or tongues. I mean, I guess they do have a lot of drool because that's just what the xenomorphs do.
Yeah, that's true. That's acid drool, right?
That's acid drool. But they're also being like very cool. They're just like, hey, man, you want to come up to space and see space?
I would go.
I still would go. Yeah. I would still go. And those aliens are super scary.
Yeah, they are.
Those are super scary aliens.
What about coneheads? Because I feel like the coneheads are always going to eat you.
I mean,
like,
they're very
and
creepy.
And the way they talk to you, it seems like they're going to eat you.
That's true.
It's like, come with us now. Everything will be fine. And then, you know, I'm like,
it's a little, would you be more interested in going with the Coneheads or the xenomorphs?
Yeah, that's a good question. The xenomorphs talk?
The xenomorphs talk. Perfect English.
Okay, perfect English. British?
American.
American English. Oh, I don't know. If it was British, I would go.
Ridley Scott's British, so I'll give you British.
If it's British, I'm going. I'm going with the xenomorphs. All right,
fair enough. I mean, the Coneheads, at least the daughter did have like a pretty nice body.
Yeah, she did. And she was American.
That's true.
She was born here.
Yeah. It's the Superman thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's not really, I mean, he is an alien, but he's not really an
he's
alien.
He's raised here. So
he's fucking Kansas.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would say I go with xenomorphs. I'm on the fence on the Coneheads.
I would go with either one.
You go both of them?
Yeah.
Pigs in space?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
You go with Pigs in Space?
Fuck yeah. Right. Let's do it.
You get every now and then you get karate kicked by Miss Piggy.
I'll live with it.
Yeah.
She has her reasons.
Yeah, I guess so. What if it's like the critters?
Ooh. Do they speak though English?
They speak to each other, but you can't understand them.
Then how do I know that I'm like what they I
they
don't
do a lot so. Of hand gestures.
They do a lot of just
like, come here.
Did they have hands?
Come hither. Come,
I don't
they had tiny the, little hands, yeah.
They had tiny little hands.
Critters had tiny little hands, yeah. They do like come hither.
You're right. They did have tiny little hands.
Yeah. But they're doing a lot of laughing to each other. Like
I don't think so. I don't think
you don't go with the furballs?
No, I don't think I go with this. No.
I don't know what their motive would be.
Yeah. I'd be too confused.
I'm like, I'm a big fleshy guy just walking into this little furball thing.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
It'd be a little weird.
It'd be too much.
But anyway, in this movie, they go with the aliens.
Yeah, they go with the aliens. They die.
It's Wilford Brimley, right?
It is. This is just like Field of Dreams where they're like, hey, kind of old guy that's still going to be alive like 30 years from now when you're doing this podcast.
You want to come up?
You want to come die?
And they're like, and he's like, fuck my family.
Yeah.
But he tells his grandson like, hey, grandpa's going up to live forever.
That's
which
right.
Clearly means he's killing himself.
Right.
And the
that's true.
Like,
they're also, if you take this movie on face value, they think they're going to live forever. And they're like, hey, my actual family... you stay on Earth and die.
You guys stay here and fucking die. Also,
I'm going to live forever.
As Wilford Brimley, I'm probably going to be alive for 30 more years. I don't want any of this shit with you
guys. Which, in fairness, if I had that option now and they're like, hey, Francisco and everyone and your girlfriend, everyone else you know is going to die, but you can live forever, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Bye.
Like, bye.
Deuces.
Deuce. Peace out. Yeah.
Living forever, motherfucker. Just like, peel
I'm a mortal, motherfucker. There could be only one.
You're just like dumping out your soda on us as you fly
I'm just
away.
Pissing out of the fucking, what do you call it? Not skyscraper.
Out of the fucking spaceship.
The saucer. Flying saucer. I'm just pissing out of the saucer.
Or like, that was unnecessary. He didn't have to piss out the saucer. But he did.
I wanted you to know that.
Yeah, exactly. You wanted to know.
I wanted you to drive the point home.
Anyway, nominated for Best Picture, Cocoon.
Cocoon. Then we get to 34. We had a new guest on this one. This is Nick coming in.
Nerdy Nick.
Check him out on YouTube.
We're going to tag him on this one so he listens
to
us.
Yeah, tag it up. Nerdy Nick joined us from YouTube to talk about...
Untouchables.
The Untouchables, yeah.
Kevin, I don't even know why we... I mean, that was the next one, I guess, coming up, but we went with Untouchables on Nerdy Nick.
Yeah, it's Sean Connery, it's Kevin Costner, it's Brian De Palma. Yeah. It's a really cool movie.
It is. It's a very good movie. I remember at the end, because Emma was on board with this one.
That's right.
Emma and Nick did not like this movie.
They get in a big that's right. Neither one of them like this movie, which is crazy because it's great.
Yeah.
But also they get in a big fight about what is it? No, it's not Smash Mouth. It's one of those stupid bands.
I don't remember. What is one of those stupid fucking like early 2000 late 90s bands?
Yeah.
That Nick liked
and Emma did not.
Yeah, and Emma did not. We also talked a lot about Bob Hoskins and how he should have played Robert De Niro's part.
It was a weird choice, yeah.
Because Robert De Niro had to put pillows under his shirt fucking movie. And then to thin his hair out. Yeah. Bob Hoskins, already that guy.
Already, yeah.
He talks exactly like Al Capone.
Yep.
He's a great actor.
He is a great actor, yeah.
Yeah, he makes like...
Doesn't have that name recognition, though.
No, not until after Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was true. Like 2 years later. This is a really good movie that I really like.
Yep.
Was this a movie that we talked about Sean Connery's fight story?
Maybe. The thing with him and the birds?
Yes, I think. Was this one?
This may have been. I don't know. But tell it again, because it's a good story.
This is Michael Caine and...
Michael Caine and Sean Connery used to be good friends back in the early days in Britain.
It was more like Michael Caine was Sean Connery's like sidekick.
That's true.
But
Sean Connery was like a huge, huge deal, obviously.
He was a bodybuilder.
He was one of the early bodybuilders. He was obviously like super handsome and charismatic and a fucking star. He was James Bond. And he's just banging ladies left and right.
He'd show up with two birds.
Yeah.
He'd show up with a bottle loader bird or something like
that,
exactly. Right?
But yeah, they used to have parties where if you didn't show up with either a lady or a bottle of alcohol.
Can't get in. So the story was that they went to a bar and some guy started some trouble.
That's right.
Like three guys.
Yeah. And three guys started trouble.
Michael Caine held Sean Connery's jacket.
While he beat the shit out of all three dudes.
Yeah. Michael Caine didn't even fucking partake.
Yeah.
He just held on to his jacket while he beat the fuck out of him. Elevated Sean Connery.
Yeah.
It reminded really did. Me of why he's why so
he was the original Bond. Yeah.
And watching this movie, when we were watching it,
he's
the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
He's way above everybody else.
Yes, that's way true. Above,
Andy Garcia, Sean. There was a lot of talk about Andy Garcia's back hair. There was a lot of back hair.
This like Andy Garcia is the young guy. This is like his first movie, really. His first big movie. Kevin Costner's just doing his Kevin Costner thing. Yeah, his everyman thing.
Cool, charismatic guy.
Like he's fine. But
Robert
like,
De Niro's great in it. But Robert De Niro's fine, but
he's a side character. He's a miscast, and he's just like a weird little mini. He's a mini role. Sean Connery just comes Sean in Connery. There and just destroys.
Yeah, it's all about Sean Connery.
It is.
We talked a lot about Canadians because they fuck shit up for
that's
them.
True. Well, the whole Mounties situation, they ride horses, they shoot people. It's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I do remember Emma and Nick did not like this movie as
which
much
is
as
again we, insane.
Insane. It's Brian De Palma. It's fucking great. It's perfect. You don't get better than Sean Connery in this, even though he dies.
He eventually dies, but it takes like 50 bullets to take him down.
Yeah, that's right. He gets shot
so many fucking times, and even then he holds on until Kevin Costner gets
and
there.
And Kevin Costner shows up like in the afternoon.
He gets shot 100 times.
That's
and
right.
And waits and still survives for like 7 hours.
Kevin Costner just stumbles upon him like 7 hours later, and he's still alive.
And he's still like, I've been waiting this whole time because I have some final fucking words to say to you.
Don't worry about these 82 bullets in me. My body is just, its limbs are gone.
Yes.
He's riddled.
He's the fucking Black Knight from Monty Python.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just pieces of himself.
Exactly.
This is all about Sean Connery, man. This movie's great. Great. Listen to it. Listen to the episode because Nerdy Dick does a pretty good. Nerdy Nick, I called him a dick, but you know, we know why.
We know why.
Yeah, we know why. It's a good job.
No, yeah. Shout out to Nick, man. Yeah, we got to get him back on the podcast and check out his YouTube channel. All about video games and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
Then we go to the last episode for this particular fun adventure that we're having. It's episode 35. We actually jumped ahead. This episode was supposed to be 36, but unfortunately, the
Toby
great
Hooper
director...
passed away.
Exactly. He passed away, so we decided to go right into Poltergeist. Poltergeist, of course, the incredible Not the first haunting movie or anything like that, but one that really kind of just made the genre, I think.
Yes, this is a movie that if this movie hadn't happened, Ghostbusters doesn't happen.
Right.
Even like Beetlejuice, like we talked about, doesn't happen. This is a movie that kind of like has a lighthearted look at serious hauntings. And it also has really cool special effects that they then later use for those other movies.
That's right. That's right. This prequel to like Raiders and stuff
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some amazing special effects. Craig T.
Comes back in this one. The Duncans are our guests on this one again.
Andrea and Vince come in with us on this one. A lot of talk about how shitty the parents are.
A lot of talk about the shitty parents because they're very bad.
They are very bad.
They are very bad. And
they're cool at first.
Yeah, I mean, they're smoking weed and they're fucking, which is cool.
Yeah,
which also leaving very creepy clown dolls in their children's bedroom, which is not cool.
Yeah, the kids are coming up and they're like, hey, there's a lot of ghosts in this bedroom. And they're like,
you know what would make you feel better with all these ghosts? Here's a giant 6-foot clown.
Yeah, whose arms extend like 14 feet out.
We're just going to put that right at the foot of your bed. On you this like chair,
looking at you the whole time.
That'll make you feel good.
Yeah. Also, they're super excited about the ghost at first, which was funny.
Yes.
Craig T takes it super hard.
That's true.
The mom is weird. That's so hard.
When the kids disappear, Craig T puts on like the full beard and he's freaking out and not going to work
and stuff. Yeah.
And the mom's just like, no, that's cool.
Yeah, the mom's like, we'll figure it out.
We'll get it. It's fine. I've called this fucking psychic with this very crazy little voice that
sounds like she should be doing ASMR on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. We talk about that. Yeah, they call her and the ghost hunting guys. And then there's some really shitty effects of stuff flying around the room. Yeah, my God. It's so dated. It is,
but there's trees moving around and there's like skeletons coming to life.
Craig T peels his face off at one point.
Ah, it's cool.
It's very cool. Also, there was a weird thing in it where the mom lets the daughter walk out with all the construction workers, like grabbing their dick.
Yes, there's a lot of construction workers being very inappropriate, and the mom just being like, "Ha, that's cool."
Construction workers with my 15-year-old daughter, and they're like whipping out their dick.
They're whipping. see full dick.
Yeah, you see, they go full dong. They drop dong on this, and they're like, "Hey, baby," and the mom's like, "Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys." I mean, it's 1982 or whatever.
And then when the ghost shit happens, she's like, "Ghosts will be ghosts." Ghosts.
Yeah, there exactly. there is a lot of weird ghost stuff in this, in that they can't really decide what you should do. So they bring in these ghost experts and they're like, hey, ghost experts, help us get our kids back. And the ghost experts are like, okay, what you want to do is go into the light. No, wait, stop. Do not go into the light. Yeah. All right, now go to the light a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Now take 3 steps back. You're like, make up your fucking, are you experts or you're just making this shit up?
You go into the light.
Yeah, now you jump in there and you grab them.
Grab this person. Also, when they pull her out, that's not the end of the movie. There's still like way more haunting.
There's way more movie.
Yeah, there's still like the corpses come up.
Exactly, because when you get out of that haunting, here's the first thing you should do. Leave.
Yeah, don't stay there.
Do not stay at the haunted place.
It's just Craig T like yawning and stretching and be like, oh, everything is done now.
Yeah, I guess we're all good now. I'm going back to my job.
Everything is back to normal. No, it turns out the house has to implode into itself at some point.
That's right.
With corpses just popping up.
I do feel like...
Also, real corpses.
Real corpses,
they use real skeletons in that scene. And Steven Spielberg had to...
It was Spielberg.
Spielberg had to... Because there's a lot of talk about who directed it. But Spielberg had to jump in there.
Yeah.
In order for... what's her name?
The actress to get in. Yeah.
To get in, yeah. Because he used real corpses.
He used real corpses. He's dope like that.
Yeah.
No CGI. Real corpse.
But Tobe Hooper, amazing movie.
Yeah, very cool.
Trailblazer.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, what, it was Texas Chainsaw, right? Or no, Hills Have... Wait, no, it was Texas Chainsaw.
It was Texas Chainsaw, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think, don't quote me on this. Go back and listeners, go back and listen to the episode and then correct me on this. This might be the episode where I pointed out that Pornhub has a genre in it where it is descriptive. Descriptive audio where there's a woman telling you what's happening on the screen of Pornhub.
That's true.
If it's not this one, that's Best Little Whorehouse. Go back and listen to both, listeners.
Yeah,
because it's one of my favorite features of Pornhub.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you can go back and it's like he penetrates her. Like it's just somebody describing what's happening. It's very good.
Yeah, very good.
It's very cool.
So we'll be back next week with more of our incredible countdown. But just a reminder, as we get to the very end of this countdown, we are still going to do a couple more 80s movies before we move on. And so if there's an 80s movie that you absolutely positively have to have us talk about, please let us know. BlockbusterNostalgia@gmail.com or hit us up on the Insta or Facebook, BlockbusterNostalgia on everything.
Yeah, we want to hear your suggestions.
And also, I'm posting a shit ton of stuff on BlockbusterNostalgia on Instagram, so check that shit out.
Follow, comment, share, like.
Tell your friends. All
put
that
it
shit.
On your story.
I don't know.
It's only like 24 hours. Put it in your story. Yeah, it's going to be gone tomorrow, dick.
Yeah. Fuck you. Until next week. That's what I like to tell all of our fans. It's just fuck you. Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landia.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.